the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to the October 2014 edition of Education Now. I am your host, Athena Melville. Nicholas Melville is my guest in this October edition. The focus is the need for nuclear power. Nico was born and raised in California and received a Bachelor of Science in Physics at Sonoma State University, as well as a Master's degree in Mechanical Engineering at UC Davis. Nicholas has been designing satellite batteries, those things that are orbiting the Earth, for the last 15 years, and prior to that designed hybrid electric vehicles at AeroVironment, the same company that designed and built the GM EVI electric car. Nicholas is also a parent and father of two daughters that are just now entering the age of adulthood, and he would like the world to be left in a better place for them. In the spirit of full disclosure, Nicholas Melville is my son, and we both are hopeful that at last there is a global focus on climate change, but the issue of nuclear waste and disposing of it is ignored by the majority of the environmental community. Will we leave this issue for our children and grandchildren to deal with? Let's go to the interview now. Welcome, Nicholas, to Education Now. I've invited you because of your expertise as a mathematician and a physicist and an engineer, but basically because you're a parent and you are concerned about the world that we are living for your children, pardon me, and my grandchildren. And so I've invited you here to talk about something that is really controversial, which is the need for nuclear power plants and the need to dispose of all the nuclear waste that we have created. Could you speak to us about that, Nicholas?
Sure, of course. So I've had a bit of time working as an engineer in the field of satellites, and also a degree in physics, and I've thought a lot about this issue, taken some courses actually on this issue, looking into all the intricacies of the pluses and minuses of nuclear power and nuclear arms, nuclear weapons, and also struggling with the fact that I am quite liberal in my opinion of not believing in damaging the environment. I believe in, climate change, and I believe that, we humans on this planet need to take care of this planet, and that we should not take any unnecessary risks. And I was talking to, actually, you before, and also my brothers, about just how frustrated I was with being an environmentalist and reconciling nuclear power, because when you look at what's been talked about, there's been a lot of, at least in the circles here in Northern California, just a lot of feelings that anything with the word nuclear on it is so dangerous, so horrible, that you can't even talk about it. It can't even be on something to discuss. And I started thinking about all of these nuclear weapons and all of this nuclear material, especially all of this plutonium that we in the United States and the USSR, or the former USSR, which is now so, now Russia, and many other countries, they have all of this really dangerous radioactive material that they need in order to maintain their nuclear weapons. And although these, they're basically triggers for hydrogen bombs, and these triggers are, you know, each bomb probably has something the size of anywhere between a golf ball and maybe even, you know, larger, maybe the size of a cantaloupe if you really want to have a really large trigger. And each one of these items is either made out of plutonium or uranium, and these things are very dangerous. They have half-lives thousands and thousands of years, which means they'll be radioactive and dangerous, even if you don't explode it as a bomb. They'll be radioactive and dangerous for thousands and thousands of years. And I started thinking about, you know, if we as environmentalists want to get rid of these nuclear weapons, get rid of these stockpiles of dangerous radioactive materials, how do we do this? We've had many people say, well, you can't, you know, put it underground and, you know, like over in Nevada where they've got the underground storage center that they want to put it in. That's too dangerous because many people say if you get water leakage or water runoff, eventually thousands of years from now, maybe you could irradiate the water supply. And then you have other people say, well, you know, we can't, you know, but then that's when the discussion sort of stops. Environmentalists have no solution for the 60 to 70 years that we have been mining and pulling out of the ground and concentrating all of this radioactive material. This isn't just, you know, a handful of radioactive material. You're talking tons and tons and tons of radioactive material, very highly radioactive material. And it struck me that there really is only one way to get rid of highly radioactive material. You can't store it, really, like we talked about. You can't just bury it because, to make it safe to be buried, you'd have to bury it in a place where thousands of years from now it couldn't get uncovered. You can't dissolve it because the material is at the atomic level. You can't, like, dissolve it into something else, maybe chemically change it. You can't burn it, like in a fire, because you're still going to have that plutonium or uranium that is going to be in the environment, and if anything, it'll just be a toxic smoke. So what do you do with it? You can't throw it away. You can't dissolve it. You can't burn it. What do you do with it? Well, the only safe thing to do with it is change it. You have to change it from plutonium or uranium to another element. Now, luckily for us, that's what radioactive elements do naturally. And in a nuclear power plant, you are just accelerating that process. You're forcing that material to change from the bad radioactive, really poisonous kind, into another radioactive material. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of nuclear power plants, and they rightly should be concerned with the 50 and 60-year-old technologies out there that we have had using. Think of Fukushima and other things like that, where people do not plan for things like tsunamis or earthquakes and put their nuclear power plants in places that are just not that safe. But the answer really is that we can't afford not to dispose of our radioactive material. We can't afford to just leave this stuff sitting around. We need to actually get rid of it. And if we, the environmentalists, decided to strike a grand bargain with the corporate America and the people that are actually running this country and said, no, we will allow nuclear power plants, but you have to decommission nuclear weapons and halt all uranium mining in order to do so. Maybe we could have a solution where we could power the entire Earth. And I'm not kidding. We could power the entire Earth with nuclear power plants using all of the bomb material and other radioactive materials that have already been mined. We wouldn't have to dig into the ground anymore. And you can power all of the lights everywhere, all electrical equipment everywhere on the entire Earth. You actually decided to power everything to power for over 300 years. And this is critical because that's probably the amount of time it's going to take us to repair the atmosphere of all the carbon that we've dumped into it. And again, it's not something that we can just haphazardly build nuclear power plants. We can't just take a nuclear power plant and throw it on top of the Loma Prieta, Loma Prieta seismic faults or the San Andreas faults or next to the ocean where there could be a large tsunami. We have to be smart and intelligent about where we place these nuclear power plants. And we shouldn't be building 50-year-old design power plants. We should be building the latest generation power plants, especially the kinds of power plants that actually recycle the used nuclear fuel. And until all of the nuclear fuel is completely consumed. And that really is the trick. We have nuclear power plants right now, the old generation types with uranium, that really doesn't get rid of the nuclear fuel. There's still leftover nuclear fuel in the nuclear power plant that needs to be disposed of. Now, the reason they chose to do that was for they did not want to risk another country taking that nuclear fuel and changing it into a nuclear bomb. So they chose a nuclear power plant design that had lots of low-level radioactive waste, and all of this low-level radioactive waste was something that they knew they would have to deal with, but that was better than risking another country taking a nuclear fuel that was left over and changing it into a nuclear bomb. Now, I propose that we cannot be decided for, short-sighted anymore, that the environment, the entire world cannot afford to have any more carbon put into the atmosphere, and as also the oceans can't afford to have any more carbon put into the ocean. Over 60% of the carbon that gets into the atmosphere and more actually gets dissolved into the ocean. And what we're seeing is that the ocean is getting more and more acidic, more carbon gets dissolved into it, and we're eventually going to have to change the entire Earth ocean ecosystem, because all of the animals that have shells will no longer be able to have shells, because they will the acidic ocean water will eventually dissolve them. So we're talking about a fairly major cataclysmic problem of climate change and ocean acidification that we just cannot afford to allow. And the only way we, the environmentalists, who really care about the long-term health of this country and world, the only thing that we can do is strike this bargain, because guess what? People in control, all they care about is money. So we're going to have to take something of value and turn it to our advantage. And I propose that what we need to do is strike the bargain and say, no, there will be no more, 1,000 nuclear warheads. We will not stockpile nuclear radioactive materials. We will no longer mine any more radioactive materials. And if we can't convince countries to completely get rid of nuclear weapons, We can at least ask them to go down to something reasonable. I don't know, say 5. Every country that currently has a nuclear weapon, you can have 5. All the rest of the material is going to be converted into nuclear power plant material, and it will be recycled and used up until the constituent of that material is broken down into safe, non-dangerous materials. And then after those 300 years is up, when all of the fuel is done and all of the is completed, during that time, we will slowly phase them out and use solar power and wind and other items that are not dangerous to the planet. So you have gotten rid of all the nuclear weapons, or most of the nuclear weapons. You put a ban on mining any of this radioactive material. You are getting rid of all these coal-fired power plants and other plants that are ruining the atmosphere. And a known problem, something within 50 years really will be killing people. And we are trading that for safe nuclear power plants. Now, I give you the fact, that is true fact, that nothing is 100% safe. People might be hurt with nuclear power plants. We've seen the risks of Fukushima. Other people have been damaged by radioactive material. But if we're smart about it and we are accepting of the risks and we know what those risks are, then we can place these nuclear power plants in places that are quite safe for the environment and also people and animals, and not placed in seismic locations or next to volcanoes or next to where a tsunami could happen, and produce clean, carbon-free power quite quickly. And basically, in my sense, save the planet with a, one-two punch. Get rid of the nuclear stockpile and get rid of carbon-producing power plants.
Well, Nico, so what you're saying is that you would also get rid of those old nuclear power plants. You would close them down, and you would build these new nuclear power plants like Dr. Charles Till talks about, a nuclear physicist and associate lab director at Argonne National Laboratory, west in Idaho. And he's the co-developer of the Integral Fast Reactor, an inherently safe nuclear reactor with a closed fuel cycle.
Yes, and that's the key. Is the closed fuel cycle is the key item there, because the nuclear material is designed to stay at the facility, and it keeps getting recycled. And it's called a fast reactor because it's actually getting rid of the nuclear material quite fast. I think it may also have to do with fast neutrons. That process has really only one limitation. And the limitation is any country that has access to this technology of a fast reactor really has total and complete control over the radioactive material. And if they chose to, they could choose to take that material and turn it into a nuclear bomb. So it is a little bit scary if you want to give this technology away to, say, a non-nuclear power. I would not necessarily want to give this technology to, say, North Korea, or, say, Afghanistan, or some other place where you wouldn't want people to gain access to radioactive materials and turn something into a bomb.
Right.
But places that already have nuclear power, that are already using, that have nuclear weapons and that are using nuclear power, really should be implementing this fast reactor design as soon as possible. And yes, I do think we should try to close down certain nuclear power plants that are either unsafe or in a bad location. But we really need to take action to get rid of them.
Now, people have said to me, people have asked me, how are you going to get the nuclear material that we've been stockpiling to these reactors? They'll have to travel. Now, when they ask that, it's kind of like, well, if you just leave it, they're stockpiling by the ocean like it is in Russia, or, you know,
Fukushima?
Yeah, or in Fukushima. What are you doing? You're just in denial. I mean, we could do everything possible for the environment, which I think we're going to do, and address global warming. But if we don't address this, we really have left our children in a terrible mess, in my opinion.
Yes, we need to take the view that we can't afford to have all this waste, and this nuclear waste, and leftover nuclear material. We need to be the people that say, even though there might be some risk moving this nuclear material from point A to point B, I would rather move it once from Humboldt to wherever this nuclear power plant is going to be than to let it sit in a concrete cast for the next 1,000 years in Humboldt. You know, Humboldt is not in a really great place for seismic activity. It's not really in that great of a place for tsunami. Well, all we're really doing is inviting problems in the future. And whether you like the U.S. Armed Forces or not, they're very well practiced in moving nuclear weapons all over the Earth, whether it's on bombers or on trains or on submarines or in boats. Whether we want to or not, it's moving all over the place.
Right.
And we really do need to, we need to take ownership of that and accept that we really can do this. And
yeah,
that we as environmentalists must accept some level of risk for the long-term safety of our planet.
If we're going to be responsible. I read recently that the United States has 71,862 tons of nuclear waste.
Yes.
And it can stay dangerous for tens of thousands of years.
Yes. And, I mean, not all of that nuclear waste, that many tons of nuclear waste, is actually easily converted into energy. The one that I'd be most concerned with right now is the highly radioactive material that could be used in bombs. And then later, we probably could utilize a lot of the low-level nuclear waste, the thousands of tons, millions of tons, and try to convert that and change that from bad radioactive material to short-lived radioactive isotopes. Because really that's the key. What you're trying to do is convert the elements to a point where they will naturally decay into a safe state. And right now we just don't have that. And we really just need to get rid of it. And even if it were, I would be making this argument, even if we just needed to get rid of it. You know, just to get rid of it, to put it in a reactor and convert it. Well, luckily for us, we can get two bang for the buck. You get rid of the nuclear material, and you produce clean energy. By clean energy, I mean it doesn't produce carbon. And right now, you know, forest for the trees, the semi-truck on its way to hitting you head on is climate change and too much carbon in the ocean. And that needs to be addressed first. That is the most clear sudden danger, and all of the risks that come with the nuclear power plant are there, but much, much lower as far as the planet is concerned.
Right. I know that Dr. Till, who was in charge of building this fast reactor, that they did tests on it, and it's just so safe. And, you know, President Obama supported it, and it was really started years ago by the Carter administration. But there is so much resistance that you just don't hear about. It's like my colleagues who are environmentalists and progressives do not want to address this issue. They are just, they just want to stick their head in the sand. I guess they're hoping that some other solution comes along. I don't know what. I mean, you
know. Well, that's really the problem. I don't think there really is any other solution. Right now, the only solution or the plan, if we let the government do it, they will just bury all of this stuff like trash in a dump.
That's right.
You know, we need to take ownership. We, the people, need to take ownership. We need to stand up and say there is really only one safe way to get rid of this stuff. And fortunately for us, that's nuclear power. And just take into consideration, what if we produce so much electric power that electric power was so cheap that I could produce any kind of fuel from this electricity much cheaper than oil? I mean, the only reason why people are not creating biofuels and other types of fuels, maybe making hydrogen by splitting, you know, water from, you know, from oxygen hydrogen, is because it's too expensive to do. Well, if we told the government we want 60 nuclear power plants tomorrow and we want so much energy produced and that most of it needs to be going to be generating biofuels and splitting water to make the hydrogen economy, now all of a sudden there's no money reason to use fossil fuels because we are subsidizing the cost of electricity to the point where we can afford to use these new age fuels to put in our vehicles. I mean, just take into consideration something that the U.S. Navy is considering to do right now. They actually have a system that pumps ocean water through a special set of filters and other reactants, and it pumps this seawater and it strains out things like methane and carbon, things that have been dissolved into ocean water, and they can bubble out very small amounts of gases that can then be converted into fuel. And the only way they can do this is that they have so much extra electric power on these nuclear-powered ships, such as like a nuclear-powered, you know, the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, that this energy can be harnessed to change these trace materials in ocean water into a diesel fuel. Well, what if we just decided, you know what, U.S. Army, your primary goal is not to kill people. Your primary goal is to go through the ocean and strip out all of this carbon and methane and other gases, and you need to be carbon neutral. If you're going to be the U.S. Army, you're going to be carbon neutral. You are going to go through and produce so much diesel fuel and so much other fuel, and you can only use, and we will no longer purchase any fuel that's produced from the ground. We will not go to Halliburton and pull fuel out of the ground. We will not go to Saudi Arabia and use that in our jet fighters. And it would be a complete and total game changer because we have all of this material. It's not like we have to spend 60 years mining it. We have the technology of how to build these power plants. The only thing that's in the way of producing these power plants, in my mind, is the left-wing hysteria for nuclear power. That somehow, that boogeyman, that Godzilla of a thing, is so much scarier than anything that anybody can think of, that we are going to all, within the next 100 to 200 years, have the next set of climate-based extinctions, where most of the, you know, plants and animals of this world are going to go extinct because of climate change. You know, I would accept, I'll tell you right now, I would accept, you know, a minor nuclear issue such as Three Mile Island if you actually go do the data and look at what happens due to that. I would accept one of those things happening in the next 300 years if I could stop global warming, if I could stop climate change from basically destroying the environment that we live in. And, you know, we on the left, we environmentalists, Greenpeace, everybody that wants to use science instead of, you know, denial, needs to stand up and go to the big corporate bosses and say, we know you like money, that's all you care about. This is how only way that you can make money from this anymore. We want to be rid of this nuclear weapons, we want to be rid of this nuclear fuel, and we want it all converted. And, you know, I just can't think of a better way to do it.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I do know, though, that we kept nuclear, we kept oil derricks and nuclear power off of the Mendocino Coast, and I am so glad. And I am so glad, and I really want all those nuclear power plants shut down and only these fast, safe ones used. And I would really like to see support for them, and I would really like to see a plan where this material, this stockpile, could be safely delivered to a fast plant. How is that possible? And then why are we going to do biofuels, Nico? I'm wondering, why don't we do electric cars and electric trains and, you know, with all this power that we would have?
Right. Well, the thing that I'm thinking about here is that right now we can't afford to wait any longer to save the environment. I mean, 30 or 40 years ago, you know, you look at the pace of progress, you know, in 30 or 40 years, it could be too late. It may already be too late. What we need to do is take every single vehicle that's on the road and immediately put in the tank something that doesn't produce excess carbon. If you take a biofuel that is sucking carbon out of the air and changes it back into a fuel, you don't produce any extra carbon. Now, granted, there's a little bit of trace carbon that's produced when you do that. But if we use nuclear power, which doesn't produce any carbon, and we make so many nuclear power plants that the cost of electricity is cheap, that we're giving away electricity, we can afford to make as much biofuel as we want because it doesn't cost anything. The government should subsidize producing biofuel, sucking the carbon out of the atmosphere and turning it into fuel and immediately putting it into all the vehicles that are on the road. Immediately. Because we can't afford to throw away all the vehicles on the road. You and I know that big business and everybody that's really in charge of our country will never let that happen. I mean, we can all on the left, all the environmentalists dream of this wonderful, beautiful world where there are no vehicles. They're all electric vehicles. And nobody drives, and that's just trains. And then pigs can fly. We know that's not going to happen. What's going to happen is we might be able to slow the amount of cars that are produced. We might be able to make cars more efficient. We could try to start making electric vehicles and eventually obsoleting all of these other cars. But that's going to take us 50 to 100 years to get rid of those vehicles.
So you're saying
50 to 100 years is too late? It's too late. We need to do something now. We need to do something in the next 5 years. We need to build these power plants within the next 2 to 5 years, bring them all online, make electricity free, use the free electricity to produce biofuels, tell the U.S. Navy to immediately go out, and your primary mission is not to kill people. Your primary mission is to pull the carbon out of the ocean and make as much fuel as possible from the carbon that's within the water. And yes, it's inefficient. It's going to cost 5 to 10 times more in money, 5 to 10 times more in electricity to do this. But really, we can't afford not to do that. We need to take this nuclear material and use it all not for weapons, but to save the environment.
I totally agree with you, Nico. I totally do. Well, unless you have anything more to say, I appreciate everything that you have said, And I really feel like you covered all of the bases, in my opinion. But, you know, perhaps not. But I want our listeners to know that we've been talking with Nicholas Melville. He is an engineer, got his degree at UC Davis, and is a graduate of Sonoma State University. And he works, his job is with satellites, making batteries for satellites. And he has children, and this is a major concern for him, and I am just so pleased that he agreed to be a guest on Education Now to talk about it, and I know it's controversial, and I thank you, Nico, so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you again to Nicholas for joining me for this discussion on nuclear power and nuclear energy. Nico will be my guest again in the near future to discuss the safety of the integral fast reactor, which we mentioned in the interview, but we didn't go into depth regarding its safety. He asked that you address this issue and any questions you have in comments on the Education Now Facebook page or on the Education Now Google Plus page. You can listen and download free anytime at the website. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Education Now is a proud supporter of the American Montessori Society. They have a Facebook page at AMS Facebook, or American Montessori Society. Sending cosmic love to you all, and hoping that you realize that while discussing this controversial issue, we are trying to find solutions for this world that we are leaving our children and their children. Goodbye now. And follow the child.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.